elected every month.
No, presumably people would know that you had paid in advance or something. In any event, the prohibition that other Rishonim wanted to add to use to disallow the travels like Kodesh on Shabbat had to do with impropriety of using an animal. But on the issue of Tchum, they seem to agree with him. And the Maharik in a Shiva that we discussed, but we didn't actually study last week, said that most of the Rishonim would agree with the Rashbam that the law of Tchum does not apply when you're sitting and the ground is moving underneath you.
That's regardless of how high you're away from the ground.
Right. If you are moving more than 10 tefachim above the ground, then just about everybody would agree that the laws of Tchum do not apply. Okay. All right.
And the issue of the animal? You can't have a coach without an animal.
Right. So I think someone's going to have to share because...
All right.
So, in any event, that's where we left things last week with the Maharik in the 15th century. I'm now going to skip forward to the 19th century with the invention of the steam engine and the railroad. Of course, in the case of the steam engine, the issue of the animal doesn't arise. And presumably the issue of highway robbers also is not that serious, although I've seen many movies about the great train robbery, but nevertheless, that wasn't a dangerous or a prevalent form of the issue. So I want to now first discuss three Tshuvot of 19th century Rabbanim having to do with travel by train powered by a steam engine on Shabbat. And the three of them are the Chatam Sofer, his cousin-in-law, Rabbi Ullman, that is, the Chatam Sofer's second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger, and Rabbi Ullman's wife was the daughter of Rabbi Simcha Eger, Rabbi Akiva Eger's brother. So if there's such a term as cousin-in-law, that's what they were. Yeah, let me get another chair.
So proud today. That issue of the
compared to last week.
That's what you said. There was no. You can't have a coach without an animal.
Right.
So for intra-city travel, there's no problem with tchum. What's the? You can't say it's permitted, but you can't permit it without an animal. So to say it's all right, can you say it's all right without an animal?
How can you have a coach without an animal?
Right.
No, so if the animal is your problem, and you don't allow it.
Okay. All right. So, and the last Tshuva, or rather, opinion in the 19th century having to do with steam-powered railroad travel. I only made 10.
Yes, Larry.
Last week there were 5 people. Oh, I figured that would not need more than 10. So, was there some event last week that conflicted with this, that so many people weren't here?
I'm sick. I was traveling.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, here, one more chair.
Are the materials available online? Is the first material.
I can send them to you. These are slides, which you can Okay. So, the Chatam Sofer wrote 2 Tshuvot having to do with the travel by railroad on Shabbat, intercity travel by railroad on Shabbat. My problem with both of them is that I think the later of the 2 Tshuvot was written in 1837. And as far as I can tell, the first, that is, relying on information I get from Kugel, the first railroad train in Austria joining Vienna and Wagram, which is about 15 kilometers away, was in 1837. It was extended a couple of years later to Brunn, but there was no rail connection between Vienna and Bratislava until the 1840s.
What about conventional, you know, walking or horse and buggy, or
there was
all of those things? Singular event.
No, as we discussed last time, if there's a prohibition, whether it's a dinder right or a dinder abanam, to walk a certain distance out of town past the Tchum. Okay. And that would extend to riding by horseback. But the Rashbam claimed that it did not extend to riding by coach, because in a coach you're just sitting and the ground is moving underneath you. It's not as if you're making the effort to walk. Rashbam based that on the fact that travel by river, by boat, on the rivers or in the sea was a generally accepted practice throughout all of Europe during that time. So, but the objections to the Rashbam's permission to allow you to ride by stagecoach were threefold. Rashbam himself said that you shouldn't ride by stagecoach because there were a lot of highway robbers. It was simply a dangerous thing to do. And that, of course, applies any day of the week, not necessarily on Shabbat. The Rashbam was also worried about the fact that you might get off the coach when it stopped inadvertently in the middle, and that would cause some problems. But the main objection to the Rashbam was that since these coaches were pulled by animals, by horses, and there was a prohibition against riding a horse because you might cut off a switch and hit the horse, you would not be allowed to do it. But obviously the prohibition about the switch doesn't apply to a steam engine, and presumably the worry about highway robbery doesn't apply to travel by rail.
Wouldn't apply to a coach which has a driver, a Goyish driver either.
No, the question is whether it applies to the coach did have a Goyish driver. The question is a perfectly valid objection, namely, if you're sitting inside the coach, you're not going to be likely to go cut off a switch to hit the horses because the horses become rambunctious. So the prohibition against riding a horse shouldn't apply to you who is sitting inside the coach. The Maharik raised this objection, and on the basis of that, at least allowed you to travel on a barge which was pulled a long distance away by some animals, so that there was no way whatsoever that you could actually cut off this bridge. But in any event, the new phenomenon now is that you have railroad travel. And as I said, I want to discuss three responses of 19th century Rabbanim to railroad travel, the first of which being the Chatam Sofer. And my problem is that the tshuva of the Chatam Sofer was written in 1837. He died in 1839. So my guess, that is, I'm 99% sure, that he never saw a railroad train. That is, he was writing what he wrote on the basis of realizing that this is a problem that's going to arise in the future, and he better deal with it. Okay, so now let's read what the Chatam Sofer has to say. If you're riding on a coach which is pulled by animals, and it's impossible that the horses are going to go for 12 mil, and maybe even not old, even for 2,000 amah without stopping either to urinate or to defecate. In other words, there will be some stops. I Shehim Tzu'u Achshav Bedimyono. I assume that this means that this is a planned, a new invention, namely a carriage which is now being, has been invented, Shahakitum Lichol. It's driven by steam. The Enkan Lochitok Zmora, Velo Tashmish Rubale Chaim. And furthermore, the train is a runner to the benefit of very few Jewish passengers. So Ramban said that you're allowed to descend from a boat if the ramp was put up by a non-Jew, because it was done mainly for the non-Jewish passengers, who constitute our Mishraim. The Lekka Elamishum Tchumim. And therefore the only possible objection to driving intercity on a railroad train on Shabbat is because of the laws of Tchum. Generally, the Talui Basveka the Yesh Tchumim or Ein Tchumim. This then depends upon whether there is or is not Tchumim in this situation. In Cain, Hafinami Asur Misveko, the Rambam Nami Chusul Yudbeis will be a writer of Sveko Lachoma. Mikomakom, Lo Halvi Ela Sveka, the prohibition of riding on this train can only be a Safek. The Nakimina Kamashkara Beit Yosef Gabriel Chivas and Rashef Tzarin, the Harela Rashban, Jerotosus, Afil Yesh Tumim, Mikomakom, Bakara, Yesh Lamad Lab Midi Abirayin Sham, Yesh Laayin Laetatsorah. So he raises the issues here, but he postpones a final decision because the trains have not yet come into existence.
He must have heard about them somehow.
Sure, he heard about
them, or he heard that they were being planned.
They are being here, that they had already existed in England in the 1820s, and in Germany from the late 1820s, and he heard about their being planned. I mean, remember, it was a huge financial undertaking to establish the railroads. So let's go now to the next Shiva that apparently I believe was written a little bit later. As a consequence of what we just discussed, it goes into a whole discussion of the laws of Tchumim as far as a steam wagon is concerned. There is no prohibition involving the usage of animals, nor is there a prohibition because there is a non-Jew who's firing the furnace. And then he quotes the Rashbam about the fact that if you're sitting and the ground is moving underneath you, the laws of Tchum don't apply. But Tzarech Lomar B'Shani Yeshivat Sinad Yoshe B'Shovet Kimo B'Cheder Mitato B'Leito. He says there's a difference between riding on a ship and riding on the train, because if you're riding on a ship, it's as if you're in your own bedroom. Ve'eino Oseh Shum Davar B'Gufo. You're not doing anything. U'maya Hu D'Mam Tilei. And the water is dragging you along. V'Hu Nach. And he's resting. Masha'en came by the Chato, but so had Chum, the Kareb, and so had Chum over El Tashvit Meshevet Yed Raglecha, and the Shavit Ali Ulde the Chol, Tvei the Ove El Shut Yerait, the Gemosh Yesbir Haramban. The Lefiza Hainu Dafka Vesvina, that's only in the case of travel by ship, She Yoshev Vakatet Vava Einu Mit Kareb Maase Gufo, you're just sitting in an armchair, or as if you're in your own private bedroom, the Oseik Ba'onek Shabbat Kamobu Veito, and therefore you're enjoying the Shabbat just as if you were home. Aval Hanosim Bedam Fagan, but people who are traveling in a railroad car run by a steam engine, a no show bay, you're not resting. The gufon nahad nahad, you're being shaken from one side to the other.
The over the waves go, they shake you too.
The EF shaw la la soap is case Shabbat the Shabbato, Ashara Gilba and the Beto, and therefore you can't enjoy the Shabbat the way you normally do at home. In the Kareva Makom is Kao, the Shabbat, the Luyotcham, the Yamchol, Hashut the Garaha Beitre, the Nam Shekhalatkum, the Isu Gamu, or Filu Nibir Rekha, the Ramba, etc. So the upon Sofer, who I do not believe ever rode on a train, claims that there is a huge amount of discomfort involved in riding on the train. He must have heard this also. As Mr. Katz says, getting seasick is probably a little bit worse. And certainly I do not believe that travel on the reconstituted Roman roads in the 12th century with a stagecoach was any less comfortable, or more comfortable, I should say, than riding on the train. So we have a prohibition by the Chatam Sofer. My view is that he was anticipating the question.
Because if he anticipated the question, he should have been able to anticipate the fact that the cars would become better over time.
That would be a pulling cars.
First of all, I think it's safe to assume that even the early trains were more comfortable than riding on a coach in the 12th century. And certainly, if you take seasickness into account, they were more comfortable than going by boat. Furthermore, I don't know if he ever took a long trip by boat. It's certainly not like living in your own bedroom. Unless you're on a fancy cruise ship, which did not exist.
The Rebbe talked about his trips to Israel, which took weeks and weeks, and it must have been on the boat.
I don't know. At any event, Chatam Sofer prohibits this, but I don't think he was in full possession of the facts.
Okay. This was close to his death. He must have been pretty old.
He was pretty old.
He didn't want to shake anybody up with you.
I don't know. Now let's quickly go through what his cousin-law writes. Modern technology is absolutely amazing because, for example, there's this book, Yireot Shlomo. I do not know if it exists in the Harvard Library, but there's something called HebrewBooks.org, which has all of these books. And then I just open it up on my computer and then do a screen photograph of the book and then cut and paste. So this is a really...
They have some very obscure stuff.
This is pretty obscure. Okay. Nidrashti asher she'elani al halichat adam v'haflagah agalah olechat al yedei dam b'shabbat. I was asked, now this is some years later, which is actually a practical question, not anticipating something that's going to happen in the future. Rabbi Ullman died in the 1860s, so by then train travel in Austria was quite well established. He quotes the business about travel by boat 3 days before Shabbat, and then he says, "Omiyata nechazianan v'karona olet al yedei dam kvar katavnu d'lashitat ha-rashbam ein kan isur tchumim ak v'lamata me'asara." He says, first of all, according to the Rashbam's principle, that if you're simply sitting and the ground is moving underneath you, there's no prohibition of tchumim, even if the wagon is within 10 tefachim of the ground. And according to the opinion of the Marik that we studied last week, kol ha-rishonim sovereign came. All of the Rishonim agree with the Rashbam. Rak l'shitata machaber v'yasur alek v'tzvinah l'matam v'yasara az asur. Ve'en kan latar v'yisur yavaraita, kevin v'yemet l'malam v'yasara v'makom sh'af che'en yisur ha'af en yisur atzah. Since the ground of the wagons are usually more than 10 tefachim off the ground anyway, there's no prohibition. He doesn't mention at all this issue of discomfort, or rock and roll, or however you want to call it. So according to Rav Ullman, intercity travel on Shabbat on a railroad train is permissible, assuming, of course, that you bought the ticket in advance and so on and so forth.
Okay. By the way, there must be some side issues, for instance, if you were to travel from one city to another in Shabbat, or anything you carry with you. what would be your situation the moment the train arrived?
Right, there'll be problems. If you're the only source for wind, then you have the whole city to walk through.
But then you're there. Oh, I see. So you
right.
So the 3,000 almost, that's not a consideration.
Not according to the Rashbam. When you're sitting and the ground is moving underneath,
and when you arrive, you're back. You're where you belong.
Right,
and still walk around.
Right, because you didn't go for sleep on any of that. Okay, so the third opinion.
You bump from one corner to the other, but somehow you got there without translating magic.
Exactly. By the ground moving underneath you. Okay. The third opinion that I want to quote is the opinion of the Tiferes Yisrael. So here I used the old-fashioned method of scanning an actual book. Okay. Ulam, he says, Lisav Shabbat Vedam Fagon Ein Shum Hecher. The Kvisha Shamati Shulei HaGalah HaYonam In Mucham Yutet Tvachim HaAvet. He says, I've heard that the bottom of the train is within the 10 Tvachim of the ground. Anam Afilu Yu Shulei HaTeva Gavoy Yoter Miyut Tvachim Mare L'Shem Shamakom Ptur O Dnei Berkeven Shalom HaYomid B'Shad Ravim, etc., etc. He wants to establish the laws of Tchum do apply. According to the Rashbam's principle that you're not doing anything, and it's the ground that's moving underneath you. I don't know whether it actually went out and measured the height of the railroad cars. So we have three opinions amongst some of the leading rabbis of the 19th century. One, the Shas Yisrael that we just read, claims that the laws of Tchum do apply to traveling on a train, with an intercity train. The second is the opinion at the other extreme of Rabbi Ullman, who says he sees nothing wrong with intercity train. And in the intermediate position of the Chatam Sofer, who agrees with Rabbi Ullman that the laws of Tchum do not apply, but it's so uncomfortable to ride on a train on Shabbat that it destroys the Onik Shabbat and therefore is prohibited. Now, of course, all of this is talking about intercity travel. But what about travel within the city? Okay? All right. So, I now come to the main topic of tonight, which is, are you allowed, say we're back in the mode of the MTA of a few years ago, that you could travel outward without paying anything, are you allowed to take the MTA out of town on Shabbat? Get on the Green Line in St. Mary Street and travel from there to Cleveland Circle, for example. Is this or is this not?
You're not going out of town.
Yeah, I mean,
in the outbound direction.
In the outbound direction.
Take the Riverside Line. Go out of town.
So, here's a situation where there are no laws of Tchum applying.
You're within the city.
You're within the city. So, in principle, this should be permissible. Right? There should be no objection to riding the MTA from, assuming that you don't have to pay for your ticket, riding the MTA like the situation was a few years ago.
Suppose you're paying for the ticket in advance.
Well, there are all kinds of problems. One is that with the electronics, the only way that you could have paid for the ticket in advance was to use one of these cards, and then get into an issue of whether getting the residue listed by the visible machine is going to be an issue. So I don't want to go into that, which is a side issue, which may make it prohibited to use the...
But there are some municipalities during tourist season, for example, in Rome, and let you go on
Right.
As a courtesy, and you don't have to
right.
You can go.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. So now, come exactly.
Like on New Year's Day.
Whatever.
Suppose you're in a situation where there's no issue of either buying a ticket or getting a recording of a transaction somewhere. Are you allowed to ride out of town? And we're now going to...
Well, within the town.
I'm talking about within the town. I'm sorry. My mistake. We're riding within the town. And we're now going to read three opinions on the subject. The first opinion is one of the, to my mind, a very, very unfortunate piece of halachic writing, which to my mind caused no end of trouble, by Rabbi Shmelkis, who was the rabbi of Lviv, writing in 1895. And as we will see, he prohibits it. We will then read Tshuvot of more of later authorities, Rabbi Uziel, one of the heroes of this shiur, and his contemporary Rabbi Toledana. So let me first read what Rabbi Shmelkis has to say. Okay. So this little essay by Rabbi Shmelkis was written as an addendum to his book of Tshuvot on Yerodea. And obviously he wrote this just as the book was about to be published. It wasn't an actual Tshuva within the book, but it was sort of something in the last minute notes written at the end. And since the book appeared, I believe, in either 1895 or 1896, we can assume that this was written during that year. Okay. Hine, bifnim dibarti odot ner elektri. Since in the body of the text I wrote about the electric light, azkir bezeh bedin im reshaim ledaber b'shabbat al yidei mechona hanikrei telephone. Are you allowed to talk on the telephone on Shabbat? והנה לפני אני אתניע דעתי, יש איסור בדבר. According to my opinion, you should not be allowed to talk on the telephone on Shabbat. ושומר נפשו ירחק מזה. And therefore, a person who wants to be careful will certainly not do this. כי מלבד מה שמוכרח המדבר במכונה כזאת להכות מקודם בפעלון, אז יוצא אם רוצה לדבר וזה אסור משום השמיע קול. First of all, in the old days you had to actually ring the bell on the telephone and that would be prohibited, okay? יש לאסור עוד משום על ידי, now here comes what I think is a dreadful couple of sentences. עוד יש לומר משום על ידי סקירת זרם האלקטרי. When you close the electric circuit, nolad koach ha-elektri, the electric force is created. V'zeh asur b'shabbat, and that is prohibited on Shabbat. The kamol b'skufa kaseh ashirai. There's a prohibition on Shabbat, really on Yom Tov, but certainly also on Shabbat, to put perfume into clothes. In other words, the final procedure in producing clothes was to sort of make all the bad smells that existed in the production process disappear. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to do this on Shabbat. Amrian lebeitzar afachimu v'asur mishum demolid recha. He is creating a scent. Hu adin v'asur l'asur delektu shehadindum v'shabbat. So similarly, because of this very, very obscure prohibition that you're not allowed to add perfume to clothes, you should also not allow to be able to close an electric circuit because you're now introducing electricity to where it wasn't there before. Okay? And he adds, okay, my high time on the ba'ati, and for that very same reason, according to my opinion, yesh le'esor la'asod zora basra b'shabbat, you should not be allowed to make soda water on Shabbat, mishum de gam shem molid ha'kavach chemisha fa'vindu. So he's saying that this law of Molid, which is extremely obscure and not brought by the Rambam at all, for example, is now to be generalized, and you're not allowed to make soda water on Shabbat. I don't know whether he was talking about using one of these gadgets where you apply some pressure and some gas is introduced.
What's the basic principle? What's the principle of adding perfume to something?
The Gemara in Shabbat says that you're not allowed to add perfume to clothing, which apparently was some finishing process in the production of clothing, on Shabbat, because you're creating this scent. The Rabbi Shmelkis takes this to an extremely, in my mind, illogical extreme. When he says making soda water, I don't know whether he's doing it like Alka-Seltzer, where you drop a tablet into the water, or putting the gas pellet and using pressure. In any event, it's obviously ridiculous to claim that you're not allowed to modify. Well, what about adding sugar to your tea? I mean, after all, you're also adding something that wasn't there before. And he was apparently unaware of a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi many years earlier, which said that the Kohanim were allowed to add some perfume to the water they used for Ntilat Yadayim. And this issue of molded certainly did not apply to foodstuffs. So it's an obscure prohibition, but I'm sorry to say this is the basis that we have for the last 115 years of a taboo against using all forms of electrical appliances on Shabbat.
Okay. This Pula?
Yeah.
Others, let's pick up on this reasoning.
Let's just finish this, because now he takes this principle and applies it to the issue of riding on a tram. The Hinei Nishalti, that's the next paragraph. My cut and paste does not allow me to break a line. The Hinei Nishalti, the Tohir HaKodesh Lovo Yitzu, Eichin et Chachah, I've now been asked about riding on the wagon that travels via electricity in town. Electric Shaban, the electric train. Are you allowed to ride on the electric tram on Shabbat? The Heshavti, the Asu, Mishum, Mishuva, Shulchano, Kalachayim, Yasol, Sheva, Karon, Sha'akim, Molichon, Mishum, Sha'akim, Mishtamesh, Bebehema, Gam, Shalo, Yachtov, Simora, Ayan, Mogan, Dafilu, Lekach, Shash, Shem, Yachtov, Simora, Yisu, Hayabin, Yedan, Sha'akum, Hamolich, even though there's no animal here, so you should not be worried about cutting a switch, the driver, Poteach, the Sogea, Koach, Ha'elektri, the non-Jew is opening and shutting the electric circuit. Asul l'sheva karon kazeh. Okay.
But the Jew isn't.
The Jew isn't, and it's not clear at all to me, in any event, that the driver is doing anything serious. He's certainly not performing any melacha d'oraita, and he probably is not performing any melacha whatsoever. Okay.
And not doing it specially.
And certainly not doing it.
And this one would be run by steam and would be allowed.
And we should also worry about the fact that by the additional weight, he would also have to increase the electric power. To my mind, very, very unfortunate claims here. He first claims that the use of an electrical appliance on Shabbat should be prohibited because of this very, very obscure prohibition against putting perfume into clothes. And then he extends this to saying that even to have a non-Jew do this is prohibited. Though the non-Jew is certainly not doing it specially for you, since this electric tram is running on a fixed line, and it's most unlikely that you're the only passenger. And furthermore, he says that because of the additional weight that you provide, you are going to
increase
the amount of electricity. And as I said, this tshuva, it's really not even a tshuva, it's just an afterthought that he appended to his book, has become the basis of a really generalized taboo against using any form of an electrical appliance, no matter what it does. In this particular case, riding on a bus. Okay, so there is, as you all know, I wrote a long tshuva on this problem of the use of electricity many, many years ago. If you like, I will distribute it if necessary, but I don't need to go through that. Now, let's read Rabbi Uziel on this issue. Let's see how many of these I have. So I want to see if I have enough for everybody.
In the late 19th century, are there other true books on the use of electricity?
No, I discussed all of them in the
Shabbat. I remember this one being discussed too.
Right, I discussed the 19th.
Were they Muslim agreements?
No. In fact, as you well know, the practice among Lithuanian Jews is to turn on electric lights on Yom Tov. Yes, the Aruch HaShulchan, Yisro Lubavitz, for example, would regularly turn his light on Yom Tov. The Yisur of Molid applies equally well to Yom Tov and Shabbat. If there was a prohibition of Molid, then he should not have been allowed to turn on the electric light on Shabbat. So the practice of varying communities is different. Of course,
but now you don't even have to do that. You have a program that runs.
Right, we'll discuss that also. But now let's read, I want to read two tshuvot, one by Rabbi Uziel, which I think is okay, and then another one by Rabbi Toledano, which I think is very good. Okay. I do not know when this was written. Sha'alti minani hayakal, im mutal lenzoa b'shabbat v'yom tov b'kranot shel kitur o chashmaliyot sh'holchot b'toch ha'ir nimakom l'makom v'shemet nahagot avidei lo yehudim. Are you allowed to travel within a city on a tram which is run either by electricity or by steam? Tshuva. Yeshiva al gabi karon b'shabbat v'yom tov pasak rama l'esor afilu k'shimet nahaget avidei lo yehudim משום שמשתמש בהמה וגם שלא יחטוץ מורה. The Ramah prohibited the use of riding in a coach pulled by animals because of the use of animal power and because you might cut off a switch. וכיוון שכן, יוצא בקרונות שבנידן דדן, it therefore follows that in our types of wagons, שאינו נמשוך על ידי בהמה, כשהן מתנהגות על ידי לא יהודים, אין כל טעם לאסור רכיבתו משום שמשתמש בבהמה. There is no reason to prohibit travel on this lest you're using an animal, ולא משום שמא יחטוף סמרה, ולא משום אמירה לגוי. Furthermore, there's no prohibition here about telling a guy to perform some act for you on Shabbat. הואיל וקרונות אלה הן הולכות הלוך ושוב ממקום למקום בכל מספר מסוים שימצאו בהם גויים או ישראלים. The tram has a regular stop, and it's going to stop at every single stop, no matter how many passengers are on there. וזה דומה לדין כבש שעשוי הגוי לעצמו מותר לישראל להשתמש בו, אפילו אם הגוי מכירו של ישראל המשתמש. This is a Ramban instruction to go down a ramp that the man should up on Shabbat, even though he may have known, basically putting it up.